Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Welcome to the Blitz Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Gallo, and I'm joined, of course, by my trusty sidekick, Harley Schultz. Harley, how's it going, my man?
What's going on here? This is 2 days in a row I've had to wake up at like 6 a.m.
Yeah, well, we're recording early on a Monday because I'm on vacation, and unfortunately I will not be available at our normal time frame tonight.
Well, on vacation? Are you in London with the NFL?
Ha! No, but from the looks of the score of that game, I wish I was. No, my wife and I are up in Cape Cod, and we are seeing the remnants of some big winds from Hurricane Ian, but none of the devastation that Florida saw, thankfully.
Well, that's very thankfully. Unfortunately, that devastation did kind of kill our great expectations for the matchup between Buffalo and Baltimore this past weekend. But alas, that was one thing that you had to kind of take into account, is that there may have been some remnants of Hurricane Ian, Tropical Storm Ian, whatever it became as it grew inland, that could affect your game play. And of course, that's one of the things you need to watch for on Sunday morning, is if there is inclement weather coming into a game, that it will indeed affect the potential for passing offenses as well as kicking offenses for leagues that still use kickers.
Yep. And you know what? I actually saw all of one play, believe it or not, one play all yesterday. You know how much I love those 9:30 a.m. London games. It was the final kick of the Saints and Vikings game. And I have to say, the camera operators were in preseason form because you didn't get to see either of the real doinks on the daggone replay.
We got the dreaded double doink again. And, you know, when it first went off the side upright, it looked for certain, like, I mean, the way it was angled to bounce down, that it was going to fall over the crossbar and be a successful kick, because it was on the inside of the upright, so it would have counted.
Yep.
But of course, it hits the upright and then does basically like a Rodney Dangerfield triple Lindy flip backwards onto the field and landed in the end zone.
It looked good. I thought it was a good kick. And
it had the distance, I felt like. I mean, it had the distance because it was halfway up the pipe when it hit.
The camera angle was just horrible. But in any event, so that means I was a box score scouter for today's show. However, that won't keep us from having me throw it over to Harley for this week's Blitz Podcast News.
Thank you, Steve. Jonathan Taylor injured his ankle Sunday. With a Week 5 tilt scheduled for this coming Thursday, his availability is highly in doubt. Of course, based on his production the last 3 weeks, the real question is, will his owners even notice? Kenny Golladay suffered a knee injury Sunday, and he was forced to leave the game for New York. Now, color me shocked by this news, as I thought the Giants had cut him a couple of weeks ago. After starting the game unable to move their offense, Mitch Trubisky was benched in favor of Kenny Pickett. Pickett scored twice on the ground, but he also threw 3 interceptions after coming into the ballgame. Based on this small sample size, we can all safely proclaim that Pickett is already a more reliable fantasy starter than Justin Fields. It wasn't a good week for aging backup quarterbacks, as both Tyrod Taylor and Brian Hoyer left their respective games with concussion syndromes after sustaining big hits. Now, come on, defenders. Didn't anyone ever tell you to respect your elders? And finally, DK Metcalf was brought to the locker room upon a cart mid-game Sunday. It was found out later that he was brought back because he had to go to the bathroom. When this news broke, Lamar Jackson took to social media and said, "Wait, the cart was actually an option this whole time?" This has been your BPN News Update.
Okay, that, you almost actually had me laugh out loud while you were saying that last line, because I saw where you were going, and that's... for you to go there, I'm sorry, that was bad, wasn't it? Hey, listen...
There's a little callback there.
Listen, there... You know how I can get on a soapbox about concussions, and we'll do that in a second, I guess. But for the people listening, we are going to have our two segments like normal. We'll have our normal DFS segment, our PSVs, pay-ups, stay-aways, and value plays. And then Harley and I, mainly Harley, are going to talk to you about bankroll and what that means. But Harley, concussions. I still have a problem with how people view concussions. I did see the Thursday game, and I did see what happened to Tua, and that was absolutely just frightening. And I really
feel... I think the comment of the week came from a former co-writer of mine with Fantasy Football Weekly and Paul Charchian's website, Ryan Bozer, who posted that it looked like Tua's hand was possessed by Vecna.
Yeah, there you go. And the thing is, a lot of times when you see concussions, you don't see that, right? It's not something that the normal viewer can see, like that body reaction that you have, like he had with his hands and stuff like that. It's like when you see somebody twist or break an ankle, right, or a leg or an arm, they're bloodied and bruised type thing, you see that, and you're like, oh, God, no wonder he's not coming back. But somebody gets their quote-unquote bell rung, oh, shake it off, get in there, when you're just seeing a few stars. No, that's a brain injury, and some of them are more traumatic than others. So the whole Tua thing, they're doing an investigation, rightfully so, because you can't be too careful with this. I mean, it's these guys' lives, and it's no joke. I mean, if Tua had one the week prior, which they said he didn't, it was a back injury, yeah, okay. And then he suffered this one. I mean, his career could be in jeopardy. His life could be in jeopardy type thing. Like, luckily, he's got all his movement, and things seem to be promising based on reports. But, yeah, I'll get off my soapbox, but that's how I feel about concussions. It's just, I feel that they should be reported as...
Well, it's interesting that they call these positions independent trauma consultants.
They're paid by the team.
Are they really independent? Do you know, are they hired by the individual teams? Are they supplied by the NFL? Who provides these individuals to each franchise?
You know what? That's something I've never looked into, but my assumption is they've got to be paid for by either the NFL or the team. So how independent can they be? The NFL Players Association. So it's like somebody that has a vested interest in it. It's not just the medical establishment saying, we're going to provide these doctors for you because we want to and think it's the right thing to do. Maybe that's what needs to happen. I don't know. But in my mind, until we start calling them brain injuries or traumatic brain injuries instead of the word concussion, which I just think has a misnomer to it, I think we'll always struggle with people realizing just how dangerous they are.
Well, you know, I never wish a brain injury upon anyone. One thing that's interesting, now you talked that our next segment's going to be about bankroll management. Well, when you're thinking about your bankroll management, you kind of have to have a thin memory. You really can't look back at previous weeks and think to yourself, oh, shoot, I lost X amount of money this week, so I have to hedge my bets a little bit more this week. I have to play differently this week because of that. That is the worst thing you can do from a daily fantasy standpoint and from a gambling standpoint in general. And along those same lines, just because you had a huge payday one week does not mean that you need to adjust your betting strategy the following week. Just because you won four straight hands of blackjack doesn't mean that you have to up your bet from $10 to $25 per hand. It's just something that you can do, but you don't have to do. So again, you have to have the ability to shut off your memory about what happened the previous week from a financial standpoint to roll into the following week when you decide what you're going to bet.
That is sage advice, my friend. Very sage advice.
I like to think it comes from the mind of a person who has both succeeded and failed, both on the daily fantasy front as well as at the poker table.
So are there any bankroll tips that you can give more to the novices and then maybe to the more seasoned guys, like, or is it the same advice across the board?
It really is the same advice across the board. The most important thing to remember is that it's always your goal to ensure that you've won enough money each week to cover the investment risk that you're putting out there So what I always tell people is, like, you want to invest enough money in your cash game format games, such as head-to-heads and multipliers, 50-50s, double-ups, because those are the games that you have the highest odds of winning a double or triple your investment on. You want to invest enough money in those events that you know you're going to win enough differential there to cover for the more highly risk-averse tournament plays. So in other words, if you want to play $50 worth of tournament entries, you should make sure that you've got enough multipliers or head-to-heads or 50-50 entries so that you will win potentially $50 or more in those formats, because again, your odds are much, much more higher in those formats. It's kind of like putting $50 on red or black on the roulette table to cover the fact that you're putting $5 a pop on five individual numbers.
So what you're saying is the only thing you should not only be playing big tournaments. The Millie Maker should not be all you're doing. Unless you're just treating it like
fun. I mean,
unless you're treating it like a lottery ticket.
And that's really what it is. I mean, yes, lottery has, there's no skill involved in the lottery. Absolutely none. It's totally a random draw of balls. And some people say that there's really, that the Millie Maker and the larger scale GPPs are kind of a lottery in and of themselves. But there is some skill involved in these. It's still the matter of physically going out and making the lineups.
Yeah.
There's still the factor of looking at games and thinking to yourself, okay, Geno Smith was a great value play last week. And I think both of us had him as our value play quarterback. So this is a guy that you can consider building your lineup around without being like everyone else and using guys from the Baltimore-Buffalo game, which again ultimately ended up being a downfall for people that overplayed those players. So there is skill involved with entering tournaments, but it's still more like a lottery ticket than playing a cash game where you're really looking for guys with higher floors rather than higher ceilings.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Gino was not my value play last week. I did say I liked him. I actually said I think I was playing him in a league or two on my own as a streamer, but Davis Mills was my value play, unfortunately.
Yeah, you could have really called that one to go another way. But, Geno Smith in the shootout against Detroit, and I'm actually a little amazed that Detroit was able to stay in that game considering all their injuries. But
yeah,
it goes to show that you have certain things working in your favor on both sides in that case. You've got a pair of adequate but below average quarterbacks facing two defenses that have already mailed it in for the season.
Yeah, pretty much.
And there was no weather conditions to worry about.
So, in parting, anything you want to add on budget and bankroll management?
I would say the most important thing is what we started with in the conversation is don't adjust your gameplay drastically based on 1 or 2 weeks' results. If you're down, don't go chasing the double up. If you're up, don't immediately think, okay, I've got more money I can potentially throw on lineups that make no sense, like starting Davis Mills at quarterback last.
Yeah. And listen, I also want to say there's no shame in if you think that you have a problem with gambling or managing your budget, please, there are plenty of resources out there, Gambling Anonymous and stuff like that, that you can find on the internet to get some help that you may need. So don't feel like there's something wrong with you if you have to do that. We all have different struggles. And you know,
and again, I mean, we always talk about us ways to make money with Daily Fantasy. There are a lot of sites out there, and even some of the Daily Fantasy sites host games and whatnot, where you can play free or very, very small budget games, including micro budget games like penny, 5 cent, 10 cent, 25 cent games. So it's like, don't think that you need to enter $20 Millie Maker lineups. You don't have to go out there and enter 150 lineups like the mega users will do. You can enter one lineup in that and then enter a bunch of $3 single entry tournaments or a bunch of $5 single entry tournaments. Those are great ways to make money without going up against a ridiculous field. It takes away a lot of that lottery aspect of it because you're playing small. Again, look for single entry tournaments. Single entry tournaments are the ones where the mega users, they they maybe be able to throw a fun entrance into that. They might throw some lineup that they would never use into that, but they can't go out and build 150 lineups against you. So you have this one lineup that they're throwing out there. Your odds become much, much higher. And again, those tournaments pay too. A lot of the $5 and $3 single entry tournaments on both DraftKings and FanDuel pay top prizes close to $5,000. So again, if you bank one of those, you're still looking pretty darn good. And again, it's based on your ratio, how much you entered cash-wise. If you enter $5 and you walk away with $5,000, that's a hell of a good return.
It sure is. And you know what? That's why we're going to move on to our DFS segment and our PSVs, pay-ups, stayaways, and value plays to see if we can help you win some of those things. How's that sound?
Works for me.
So for those that may be new to this, Harley's going to set an over-under. He and I do not discuss how we feel about players or DFS, et cetera, prior to recording. We are recording, as I said earlier, prior to the Monday night game, which is different for us this week. We're recording at it's about almost 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, so it's definitely an early record session for us. But what are you going to put the over-under at, Harley?
I'd go with 5 this week.
I'm going to take the over. I don't know why, but I'm taking the over. So go ahead and get us started.
This was an interesting week because a couple of the positions I had a hard time coming up with to stay away for.
Yeah, I can understand that, honestly.
Okay, well, I'm going to start off at quarterback with the guy I'm going to pay up for.
Okay.
And it's Jalen Hurts at Arizona. 8,100 on DraftKings, 8,600 on FanDuel. Arizona has allowed the 7th most passing yards per game through the first 3 weeks, and they were tied for the 3rd most passing touchdowns per game during that period. My numbers haven't updated yet for this week because the games aren't fully complete yet. But in alignment with this, Hurts is currently ranking 5th among quarterbacks in passing yards and 2nd among rushing yards. He's capable of scoring points and scoring touchdowns both ways. Obviously, he's got weapons to throw to. And the biggest negative against him, I guess I'd say, is that he does cede rushing touchdowns to the other running backs in that situation. But I like the game script here. Arizona is going to have to throw the ball to stay up with Philadelphia, which isn't going to work too well because Philly's secondary is so good. But both teams will be throwing the ball. It is out in Arizona, so they've got the home field advantage. It should allow them to keep the game close. I do like Hurts in this outfit. Again, 8,100, 8,600 should pay off pretty good.
So initially, my first take was Josh Allen at home, just paying up for the guy with the most. I looked at Hurts, and I was like, no. And then I did kind of what you did. Like, I don't think Josh Allen's a bad play if you want to pay up for the most expensive guy on the board. But what Allen does, you know, against a Pittsburgh team, Pittsburgh has not been anything to really mail home about or talk about, right? But Hurts is coming off probably one of his worst passing performances this past week, getting a big win that they need. They're looking to stay 5-0. It's on the road, which almost made me lead Allen, but I went away from what I normally do in the tiebreaker situation there. And actually, we have a match, so I'm going with Hurts also this week.
Yeah, I did consider Allen, and obviously, again, like you said, Pittsburgh has not been the Pittsburgh scary defense of old, but they still have some talent in their secondary, and it may be a little bit lower scoring game this week, I think. I mean, obviously, Buffalo is coming off a game, again, played in the cold, rainy, windy situation with Baltimore there. It was obviously an emotional game for them as they had to come back from a deficit.
Yep.
So, I mean, I can understand playing the trend there, but as I feel like this game could kind of be a letdown for them a little bit. I think they're still going to beat Pittsburgh. Don't get me wrong about that. But I think it could be a bit of a letdown game from Josh Allen and the passing offense in general.
Understood. So who are you staying away from?
Well, I could easily just say I'm staying away from Josh Allen. But, again, he's still Josh Allen.
Yep.
So it's hard to stay away from Josh Allen in any matchup. So I went down the screen a few names to staying away from Matthew Stafford versus Dallas. Now, Dallas's defense has been very, very good. They've allowed exactly 1, 1, 0, and 1 passing touchdown. That's 3 total passing touchdowns through the first 4 games. Stafford just hasn't looked clearly like himself at all this season. Obviously, he's got weapons to throw to, so it's not like he's going to be shut out in this game, but I don't see him as the 5th highest priced option on the board.
So I don't disagree with that play. I considered him, but I moved down a little because I could still see Stafford and that team still bouncing, and you got Cooper Kupp, and Dallas could have that game where they do give up the 3 or 4 passing touchdowns. I went to a team and a guy where I don't know how they did what they did this week. So I'm going to call it smoke and mirrors, and I'm just going to say there's a chance that he's without the same amount of receivers this week. I'm going to stay away from Jared Goff.
Yeah, Jared Goff's price tag on DraftKings isn't that bad at 6,100. That's the ninth highest price guy. But his price on FanDuel is $8,000.
Yeah.
That is fifth highest. That is 200 behind Justin Herbert, 100 behind Kyler Murray, 600 behind Jalen Hurts, and only $1,000 less than Josh Allen. That is kind of a laughable price. It is on the road in New England, and in New England's secondary hasn't been anywhere near what they've been in the past either. But, yeah, no, I'm not paying $8,000 for him. And even realistically, paying $6,100 for him is kind of a push there. I don't think he's going to – I think he might approach three times value there, but there's no way in hell he approaches three times value on FanDuel.
I mean, the only way you consider playing him is if you look at it as one of those reverse trap games, right, where you put in a throwaway lineup that you know no one's – I mean, what is his ownership rate going to be?
FanDuel, probably very low because, again, you can when you can get Justin Herbert for the same price –
So who are you going to
– Yeah, he's not going to be.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so who's going to be your value play? I had a couple that I couldn't decide on, but then I wound up staying with one guy.
I didn't like the value plays as much at this position so much this week. Obviously, Geno had the big week, but now they're going on the road to New Orleans, and New Orleans' secondary is pretty good. Thought about Jimmy Garoppolo versus Carolina, but again, that's on the road. Finally – I looked at the board, and it's like, you know what, if we knew Mac Jones was going to play, I'd say I'd take him as my value play. I don't trust Bailey Zappa enough to roll with him. Same goes for, Brian Hoyer plays, I'd consider him. But, yeah, it's so many question marks. I thought about Zach Wilson, but I ultimately settled on the other quarterback in that game, and that's Teddy Bridgewater against the Jets. 5,400 on DraftKings, 6,400 on FanDuel. And everyone knows that I laugh at Teddy Bridgewater. I always call him Teddy 1TD because that's what he does for his career. Well, give Teddy 2 TDs this week.
You know, I looked at Teddy, but I just could not feel good about that matchup. It's going to be on the road. Can't help but wonder what kind of letdown the Dolphins have after the injury last week and all that kind of stuff, right? How do they respond coming from that loss?
I went 1 for 2.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I wound up going a little bit more expensive. Still, I think, in the value range.
Trevor Lawrence?
No, I looked at Trevor Lawrence. I did. I did look at Trevor Lawrence coming off one of, his probably worst games of the year. But Carson Wentz, who's been up and down, but he's at home against a Tennessee team that's given up 300 and multiple TDs each week except week one, Danny Dimes. You got me on Teddy Bridgewater now. Danny Dimes is the only quarterback this year that hasn't put up 300-plus and 2 TDs, multiple TDs against the Titans this year. So I think Carson Wentz is a good spot if you want to try and pay down a little bit at the quarterback spot.
You say Danny Dimes, I say Teddy Bridgewater, I say it's Jenna Fisher saying they're the same picture.
There you go. There you go. All right, let's take a look over at running back. Who are you going to pay up for at running back?
This one here was a little tough for me, too. I just kind of looked at all the top-priced guys and I have a reason to dislike all of them.
Yeah.
I thought about taking Derrick Henry, and I ultimately settled on Dalvin Cook at home versus Chicago. One of the main reasons why Minnesota's offense was clicking this past week in London was because they made a concerted effort to get their running game more involved, both Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. But Dalvin Cook came out of the game with no clear loss of rotation and structure in his shoulder from the injury suffered the previous week. Chicago, they've got problems at every level of the offense and the defense right now. And I don't see how Minnesota doesn't win this game handily. The one possibility is if there's a letdown on the flight back, but I'd still like him at 7,300 and 7,300. That FanDuel price of 7,300 is just ridiculously low for Cook. You got to play him there.
So I'm kind of with you. I was looking and didn't really like anything. Almost could make a reason for why to stay away from everything. So I'm going to go with a guy that gets fed, and he gets fed no matter what. And that's Nick Chubb. There have been some big games against the Chargers. Damian Pierce just this past week, 131, granted it's 75-yard touchdown. But guess what? Nick Chubb can do that too. And he's been putting up solid numbers even without the receptions that you would like to get from your running back. So I'm going to pay up for Nick Chubb at the running back spot this week.
No argument there. I definitely did consider him. Again, I also thought about Henry, but sold on Delvin.
I had some small concerns with Delvin, but I don't dislike the play, quite honestly, especially saving, you know, $700 and actually $2,100 at FanDuel. So no.
It's the FanDuel price that's definitely got me on.
Yeah. Who are we staying away from?
I'm going to go with the top guy on the board, Christian McCaffrey. It was really nice to see McCaffrey finally targeted this week. I think he had 9 targets in this game, which was basically as many as he's had the entire season combined going into this game.
Yep.
And you know what? Carolina kept competitive in the game because they did that. Surprise, surprise. Who would have thunk it? Well, San Francisco, through their first 3 games, are allowing only 63 yards per game on the ground. So McCaffrey is going to have some slogging of it if they try to run the ball on the ground with him. Hopefully they get involved in the passing game because San Francisco has given up 6 receptions to running backs this year per game already. But again, he's the top price guy on the board. And when you look at McCaffrey, you want to expect, if you're going to play him, you're hoping to get 26, 27 points from him. I just don't see that this week.
No, I agree with you. Actually, we matched. It's our second match of the day. It's CMC, yes. It was nice seeing the receptions. The rushing totals, not so much. But until we see a stronger trend showing he's back to the CMC of old and Baker can continue to feed him with receptions and he can fix the rushing game, yeah, I'm going to steer clear at that price.
Okay, well, I'm going to cheat a little bit at value play here.
Oh, we might be together because I cheated too.
At value play, I'm going to suggest that you take either Damian Harris or Ramondre Stevenson at home versus Detroit. They're both values. Ramondre is a little bit cheaper, so I'll say let's go with him instead. But the biggest difference, they're within $100 on DraftKings, but Harris is $1,200 more on FanDuel. Detroit has been atrocious against running backs both on the ground and through the air. I think Stevenson's more involved with the short passing game than Harris has been. And depending on who they start at quarterback this week, they're going to have to hand the ball off and throw the ball to the running backs a lot because do you really trust Brian Hoyer or Zapka to throw the ball for a lot of yards in this game?
No. So I kind of did what you did, but I split mine, and I've got a value play on DraftKings and a value play on FanDuel. And my value play on FanDuel matches your Ramondre Stevenson call. So I guess we should at least take a half match on that.
Yes.
I actually thought for sure that you would be all over this one. I don't necessarily like the matchup so much, but like Nick Chubb, this guy's getting fed. He's getting fed a lot in the passing game. He's at home. Breece Hall at $5,400 seems to be mispriced to me.
I was using Breece Hall in a lot of fantasy lineups this week. Him and Rashad Penny were nice pivots away from Jamal Williams and Khalil Herbert. And I was a little reticent because I was concerned, well, it's Zach Wilson. Is Zach Wilson going to dump it off the Hall as much as Joe Flacco was? But you know what? Breece Hall's usage wasn't that different than it was with Flacco. I think he had a few less targets, but it wasn't like a substantial drop-off. So I totally agree with that play. Again, interestingly enough, running the ball against Miami is a little tough. So those short passes could definitely come in handy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I said it wasn't a great matchup, but it's in New York, which I like better. And at least you know that they're feeding him in the passing game. So from a value play at $5,400, he gets in the end zone. He's pretty much going to give you 3 times value most likely. So.
And remember, folks, you get the full PPR at DraftKings versus FanDuel, so it's obviously an advantage using the cheaper price on DraftKings anyways.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a look at – so we've got 2 matches. Actually, we got 2.5 matches. How's that?
The Vegas likes those half matches as far as pushing the over.
Yep, so that's what we'll see what we can do, see how that plays into it. What do you have at wide receiver? Who are you going to pay up for at the wide receiver position?
A wide receiver, there's a couple different options I thought about going with here for the pay-up. I ultimately settled on A.J. Brown, Philadelphia at Arizona. Again, I picked Jalen Hurts as my pay-up quarterback, so I always like to stack that person with the top wide receiver for that team. I think that's Brown this week. Devonta Smith had a bit of a down week this past week. I was actually counting on Smith because of the fact that Brown missed most of this past week due to the birth of his second child. But I think Brown gets to celebrate that birth more this week, assuming his wife doesn't make him stay up and change diapers at 3 in the morning on the road in Atlanta. And not in Atlanta, at Arizona, I should say.
Yeah. So easy to see why you'd want to possibly stay away from Cooper Kupp, even though he's at home against Dallas, right? And he's still Cooper Kupp. Mm-hmm. He's got to come up with almost 30 points, basically, to pay off. Justin Jefferson at home. Something tells me he's in for a big game against a division rival, but it's not the best matchup in the world, and it seems like teams are playing down the Chicago, and you're not putting a lot of points on the board, right?
Yeah. Well, and for whatever reason, teams have really double and triple bracketed Jefferson for the last 3 weeks. So since the early game against Green Bay, in which they thought they could try to single cover him, and he absolutely just obliterated them, teams are doing what they can to take Jefferson out of the offense, and fortunately, the Vikings have been able to adapt using the tight end Irv Smith, third receiver KJ Osborne, and of course the veteran Adam Thielen as secondary outlets in those coverage schemes.
So I came down, I'm looking at Stephon Diggs, and really like Diggs. Pittsburgh probably scares people because they think of Pittsburgh of old, but Pittsburgh's given up, like, I think 101 weekly to most of the receivers that they faced. But at the end of the day, I went with a guy that, and again, weather could be an issue up in Buffalo. You never know what you get there. I went with a guy that's going to save some money, and we match at A.J. Brown. He's the only guy that I saw in that top 10 that could possibly go for, 10, 12 catches, 150 yards, and 2 touchdowns that I'd feel comfortable with. So we do have our third 3.5 matches so far on the board with A.J. Brown.
A little interesting look here at the number one receivers to face Pittsburgh so far this year. PPR format, Jamar Chase, just under 24 PPR points.
Yep.
Jacoby Myers, 14 PPR points. Amari Cooper, 19.6 PPR points. And then this past week, neither Garrett Wilson or Elijah Moore had big point totals, but third receiver, outside receiver Corey Davis, had 15.9 PPR points, including a touchdown. So the outside receiver against Pittsburgh has scored and or topped, it looks like, 70 yards in every single game this season. So I wouldn't sweat going with the guy against Pittsburgh too, but that being Stephon Diggs. But again, I think we got a match there with AJ. Consider Amon-Ra if he plays this week. Again, I don't know if he will. I think they'll probably hold him out just like they held out Swift for one extra week here. But we'll wait and see.
Yeah, that was the same concern I had was seeing him and not knowing if he's going to play or be healthy or pitch count, something like that. So who's staying away from?
Well, you mentioned the guy I'm going to stay away from. That's Cooper Kupp. 9,600 and 9,500. Those prices are just too high for this matchup against Dallas. As I mentioned before, Dallas has allowed only 3 passing touchdowns all season long. And they've got the Hosses on the outside to kind of frustrate and fluster Kupp, but they've also got the pass rush to frustrate and fluster Matthew Stafford, who will be forced to dump the ball off more than I think he normally would. Maybe that means a little bit more action for Cam Akers in the passing game, perhaps even a little bit more for Tyler Higbee. But again, I don't see there being a lot of offense in this game, and you really need Cooper Kupp to post one of those 10 catch, 120 yards, and score to reach 3x value, and that's just not going to happen here.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could see Cooper Kupp with a line of, say, 15 catches for 110 yards, and he doesn't get 3x value because he has to score.
Yeah, I really see. I mean, with Kupp's case here, I think what you're hoping best case scenario this week is maybe 7.75-1.
Yeah.
Which, again, that's at full PPR, that's 20 points. That's not anywhere close to 3x value.
But that's not who I stayed away from. I stayed away from a guy who's much cheaper than Kupp. But I just think he's got too many question marks this week, especially with his quarterback and a penchant to only throw one touchdown. I just think that you have to stay away from Tyreek Hill on the road against the Jets with Teddy, one TD.
Oh, but at least Teddy Bridgewater can throw the ball and catch him in stride. you won't have to come back to the ball like when Tua's throwing it.
That's true, and he could have a big game, but for me, there's just too much risk there. I just don't like it. I don't think it's a good spot. I think it's a trap, actually.
I actually totally agree with you there. I think that I did say I do like Teddy to throw two touchdowns this week.
Yeah.
But I do like his connection with Waddle a little bit more than his connection with Hill. I might get that one breakaway play to Hill, and certainly Hill's got the talent too, but again, his price is $1,300 higher on DraftKings than Waddle, and $700 higher on FanDuel. So, if you're going to choose one of those two guys to stack with Teddy, make it Jalen this week.
I mean, 4 for 101 touchdown. Let's go 6 for 101 touchdown. At full PPR, that's going to get you, what's that, 6, 6, 12, 22?
22.
22 points, which still isn't 3x value.
Yep. If you want, again, I don't know his exact status yet, but you want a really sneaky play this week. If for whatever reason they're shorthanded, choose the third or fourth receiver for Miami. I think Cedric Wilson was starting the season as their third receiver. I don't know if he's back healthy yet or not. If he is, maybe consider him. I know they activated River Craycraft, the former New England receiver, and he was involved a little bit in the offense a couple weeks ago. Just look down that list a little bit and see if there's someone sneaky that you can put maybe as like a depth wide receiver three, because there will be some offense in this game. There will be some passing in this game. And I think someone's going to score. Again, I agree with you, though. I don't think it's going to be Tyreek Hill.
Yep, there you go. All right. I had a tough time with my value play. What do you got at value play?
At wide receiver this week?
Yeah.
I actually chose a guy who I really, really like this week, and that's Bobby Trees. His price is considerably less than a lot of the other wide receiver ones in the NFL right now. It's $5,200 on DraftKings, $5,900 on FanDuel. Scored in a couple of weeks now in a row here, and Washington's secondary has been kind of picked on all year. Now, the advantage that Woods has right now also is that Traylon Burks left the game this past week with an injury. It looks fairly severe, so there's a good chance he's not going to play this week. That means that Tennessee's other options are guys like Nick Akine, and that just doesn't bring a lot of joy to me to think about.
I think that
Robert Woods is going to be involved a lot in this game from a passing standpoint, and he's also going to get a few of those reverse runs too that he used to be used when he was out in Los Angeles. He's going to score this week, and that score alone will push him close to 3x value.
So I don't hate it, but my concern is the fact that Burks is out this week, and how much more can Washington focus on him, because who else do they have, like you said, right?
Well, it could be one of those backup tight ends that always scores instead of Austin Hooper.
That is true. That is true. Guys,
I'm getting sick of this. I'm really getting sick of that.
Guys, I looked at that for one reason or another, I just couldn't go with. Devontae Parker, love the matchup. Who's going to throw the football to him, right? Today, I can't tell you that, so I can't go with Devontae Parker. George Pickens, I kind of like the matchup. I kind of think that Kenny will hopefully try to force it to him. I just
pick it to Pickens, and we're gonna hear that a lot in the future, right?
Yeah, maybe. But I just couldn't get on board and say that Pickens is who I wanted to use as my value play, because he's more of a risk play than a value play. Josh Reynolds, but we don't know what's actually going on, you know, with the rest of the receivers yet.
Yep.
And clearly staying away from Goff because of that. And it's not the best matchup in the world for the offense for Detroit this week. So I wound up settling on a guy in the same game you picked your value play from. It was almost Terry McLaurin, but he's a little more money than Curtis Samuel, and I still think that Samuel has the ability to be that flex play that's going to give you 3x value at 5,800. So I feel like I punted it, honestly. I don't love it. I didn't love anything. That's what I said. But Curtis Samuel I'm using as my value play.
Yeah, no problem with that one there. Again, certainly Josh Reynolds has value if the other receivers are out again for Detroit. I think a lot of people were caught by the surprise on Sunday morning when they saw that DJ Chark was out of the game.
Yeah.
And there was some question marks on him on Friday. They did elevate Tom Kennedy. Now tell me first, is Tom Kennedy a real name, or is that just some random computer-generated name given to ex-fourth receiver for Detroit?
I think it's a politician somewhere, actually.
It probably is. There's some possibility. If Jacoby Myers comes back, then like you said, Devontae Parker, we just don't know who the quarterback's going to be there this week. There's so many question marks in these cheaper guys this week. It's hard to really trust anything here. If you want to go a really deep dive here, and you find out that one of the quarterbacks is going to be Brian Hoyer for the Patriots this week, then you can consider starting one of them. A guy I kind of like too. I mean, obviously, I've told you to stay away from Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. If you need something really cheap, consider throwing out Ben Skowronek here this week, because he's not going to be paid attention to in that offense. They're going to be more concerned with shutting down Cooper Kupp as well as Allen Robinson. So he could be a sneaky little play here this week.
Yeah, and I wanted to call a Darnell Mooney breakout at that $5,000 number, knowing people have PTSD with playing anybody on the Chicago team outside of Khalil Herbert or David Montgomery when he's healthy. But I couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it.
Well, a shout out goes to Jamal Agnew for stealing our Zay Jones thunder from last week.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're wrong, but you're right. Right, Zay was out, so Agnew did step into that role. So the thought process was there, and maybe people said, "Well, Zay's out, let's pivot to Agnew." So maybe it helps somebody. Who knows? Didn't get any hate mail, so that's a plus.
Excellent.
Go over to tight end, which I absolutely hate tight end this week. Hate it. But go ahead.
Oh, come on, though. I mean, you got to like a lot of these upper tier matchups. There's some good matchups for the tight ends this week.
I mean, it's almost not even fair to have a pay up when George Kittle's the most expensive guy at $5,200 on DraftKings. Everybody else is sub $5,000.
Well, it's because all the really elite tight ends are on the primetime slate this week. You've got, who's playing there? It's Cincy at Baltimore.
Yeah.
You've got Hayden Hurst. You've got Mark Andrews, and you got the Raiders at Kansas City. So you got Darren Waller and Travis Kelce and super stud tight end Jody Fortson.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of the elite tight ends and Jody Fortson are off the slate here this week. But George Kittle's the highest priced guy on DraftKings, and Hockenson is the highest priced guy on FanDuel.
And Taysom Hill's the fourth highest paid guy on FanDuel at $6,000. Like, come on, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Who are you paying up for?
Oh, but here's the thing. That's actually a great matchup for Taysom Hill if you want to play this. Seattle has been atrocious against tight ends so far this year. Obviously, we just saw what TJ Hockenson did to them. The guy I'm paying up for once again this week is TJ Hockenson. The Patriots have been almost as bad as Seattle. They've allowed 5 tight end scores in their last 3 games. So, I mean, obviously, if Detroit is shorthanded again, they're going to concentrate on getting the ball to Hockenson. I expect him to score again this week and have another huge production day as long as, again, Amon-Ra and or DJ Chark is out.
So, remember, we're recording early, okay? And George Kittle is the highest priced guy on the list that you gave me. And I looked at that and I went, oh, because Kittle hasn't done what we expect Kittle to do. And then I was like, no, you know what? It's Carolina. Yeah, it's on the road. He's $5,200, $6,500. Yeah, screw that. I'll pay up for George Kittle and cross my fingers. And I went, no, I can't do it. Just can't. But even though I feel like Hockenson at $4,900 on DraftKings, it's not really a pay up. But anyway, we have a match. I did wind up landing on Hockenson. It's not the New England team of old. Yes, Bill will probably try to take Hock out. But if those other receivers are out, he still has to have some value there, right? And it's not going to take too much value to, especially on DraftKings, won't take much value to get 3 times.
We're talking about how cheap these guys are.
Yeah.
But all of the top-priced guys have good matchups. Again, Hill doesn't qualify on DraftKings, but his matchup on FanDuel is 6,000 against Seattle. He definitely can score again this week. Zach Ertz at home versus Philadelphia. We know you have to attack Philadelphia underneath.
Yep.
Dallas Goedert on the road at Atlanta. I keep saying Atlanta instead of Arizona for some reason. I guess I want Philly to play against Atlanta.
Yeah.
But Arizona has been atrocious against tight ends once again this year. Kyle Pitts, obviously disappointing all season. Tampa Bay just gave up 3 tight end touchdowns to Patrick Mahomes last night. So ultimately, for my stay away, I had to go all the way down to the 7th highest priced guy on the board, and that's Tyler Higbee. And I already said that I don't mind Tyler Higbee. So I think he might be involved in the short passing game this week, but he was the highest priced guy on the list that I didn't really care for this week.
So, yeah, I get it. By the way, we're at 4.5 matches, so we needed one more match between either the stay away or the value play. I have a feeling we're not going to get it. I don't disagree with Tyler Higbee, but I've got PTSD. I attacked Kyle Pitts in an auction, relying on him as one of my big players. And right now, he's a Ferrari that's in the garage getting fixed, and you can't show it off to your friends, et cetera, when it's in the garage, right? So until Pitts starts to do something, I don't see how you can safely play him, even in regular fantasy. So let alone, why try to force it in DFS?
Well, it's absolutely atrocious that the coaching staff in Atlanta has actually decreased Pitts' snap count in every single game so far this year.
Yeah.
That's it. It's stupid. It's a fireable offense.
Not only that, you don't even want to go look at how many routes he's running versus he's in blocking. I mean,
Parky Hesse should not be getting more targets or more routes run than Kyle Pitts.
Exactly. And you're right. That is a fireable offense. So I'm shocked that we didn't match with Kyle Pitts, but it is what it is. Let's see if we can
match. I'm only saying that because, again, recency bias.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay got just destroyed by the position yesterday, so I think that they might be a little shell-shocked.
We'll see. Hopefully I'm wrong. Who is your value play? Let's see if we can get a match and go hit the over for the first time this year.
Well, I'm going to take a guy who also played in that game last night that I was just talking about, and that's Cameron Brate, 3,400 on DraftKings, 4,900 on FanDuel, versus Atlanta. I finally get to say Atlanta in the right context here. They've allowed a lead tight end to either score and or top 70 yards in every single game this season.
We don't have a match, which means the under hits. Even if you gave me the full point for Ramondre, we'd have a push at 5, but that's okay. My value play, maybe he's not as cheap enough as he should be for a value play, but David Njoku has shown that he is a top guy to target at the tight end position. He's still underpriced for the production you're getting from him. He's a little higher on FanDuel than he is DraftKings, but David Njoku is my value play at the tight end position this week, where I don't think you have a chance of getting goose eggs from trying to get a value guy in your lineup.
Exactly.
So that does it. Good week. And I'll watch more football this coming week because the vacation is going to be ending on Saturday morning, the 10th, I think it is. Actually going to be in Boston today. I'm taking in a Red Sox game. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, as always, feel free to follow Harley on Twitter at Nuclear Harley. You can follow me at Steve Gallo NFL. I'm usually pretty good at getting back to people. This week, of course, I was not because I've got very horrible cell service where I am and just have been so busy. But I will try my best to get back to people. Of course, you can always make sure that you are subscribed to thehuddle.com. And as always, get blitz responsible. Cheers.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.